Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and
Richard Presser. Oh!
I didn't get a chance to tell him you were my trusty friend.
Oh, well, there you go.
You must be anxious to do this show today.
Well, no, I just thought I'd stir you up a bit. You know how it is.
Yeah, he likes to stir me up. Though I don't think I really need stirring.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, I do it on my own, don't I?
You sure do.
Anyway, friends, for those of you who are on our mailing list, we sent out some very interesting information and two links that we were hoping that you would get to and review before this show. But before we get to those links, because I'm going to ask Richard to talk about the two links a little bit, I want to mention something. For those of you who know about our work, we have three conference calls a month where the public attends, and we have one where we use people from our heaven call, which could be ISIS, could be Mother Mary, could be someone from the spiritual hierarchy who comes on the conference call. Sometimes it's Mother God. And we then have one with Archangel Michael and one with Lord Metatron. And for some time now, information that we've been given on these three calls has been directed towards, you might say, challenges that are on the way. You might say struggles of some sort. So finances, weather, volcanic eruptions and things of this nature have been on our minds. And I would say just recently now, there are other signs that are coming to our attention. Signs in the crop circles, signs that we have gotten with regards to the full moon messages. And Richard, I just want you to touch a little bit on the two links that we sent out to people who are on our mailing list, in case there are individuals who aren't on our mailing list, they have some sort of ideas of what we're talking about.
Well, actually, there were three links in that email. Actually, four. But
yeah, get me up to speed.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll send you a copy if you want. The, I guess the thing that has really underpinned, in a sense, this month was an astrological forecast, which Carolyn and I saw early on in the month, and there was a link to that astrological forecast, if you will, and that forecast was talking about the incredibly powerful planetary alignments that were occurring this month. And the gentleman concerned was saying that this was an extraordinarily powerful pattern, and a pattern which would bring forth incredible change in the world and indeed in people's lives this month. And he was not mincing his words. And this is a gentleman who seems to know what he's talking about in this territory. And so it was, as I say, pretty powerful words that he was using. And so it was interesting that we were also being encouraged by Jason, our Arcturian crop circle maker friend, who we took a number of messages from last year in relation to crop circles. And he was kind of leaning on us to take a message about a particular crop circle, which was laid down in late July, which was in the shape of a serpent. And he gave his message to Carolyn, in which he explained that this serpent pattern, unlike most messages, which are messages of encouragement to humanity, this one was a message of warning. Not to be dire in a sense, but putting out a warning about changes which were coming. And thirdly, the message that we took for this full moon, which interestingly is pretty much right with us. We're within a few hours of the peak of that full moon, which passed us, I think, during the afternoon. So we're banging the full moon energies. These energies are, in a sense, amplifying what is happening with these energies of August. So it was kind of interesting to see all these things coming together and then see the hiccups that the stock market has had around the world over the last week or two and so on. So it's all kind of interesting. Carolyn?
Yes, and then two things that came in my email today. One was a gentleman who has predicted things in the past with the stock market and currencies and housing crisis and so forth and gold. And his information was very interesting, to say the least, about, you know, something that was coming up that was going to really change everybody's not only perspective, but things that are going to happen in their lives with finances.
Very powerful stuff, that, actually. And what was interesting is both Carolyn and I received independently in our emails today a link to the presentation from that individual, Michael Lombardi. Very fascinating. And actually, I will send out a link to that presentation to all of you on our list when I send out the email with a link to the recording later on.
And then in my mailbox, there was information about polls of Americans that were taken. And I hadn't shown this to you, Richard, but I thought this was interesting also. And in this poll, it said some 68% of people believe the worst of the country's economic conditions are yet to come.
That's interesting.
While only 27% say the worst is behind us, 6% are unsure. And that poll was just taken August 2nd to August 4th.
So you're saying there was 6% sitting on the fence that's about to fall over, is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I was saying. Now, something that I want to review is chaos. I have an ebook that I had taken from 13 Masters on the Other Side that I call Chaos Before Creation, which I thought was interesting because I do believe that we are in what I would consider that kind of chaos right now. And so let me review that a little bit. For those of you who are interested in the sciences, you might recall in your science classes 101 that they talk about particles cannot be destroyed. They're only changed. For instance, you freeze water, you don't really destroy it, but you get an ice cube. It turns into ice. And we understand about changes in this dimension. And when something new comes into the world, it uses, as I see this, it uses the particles that we have here to create with it. So that the old, you might say, when that falls away, those particles aren't destroyed, but they're really transmuted and changed. And so there is a period in time when there is a lot of particles in motion going from one state to another state. And that's what I consider chaos. And I think we're seeing that all around us as these particles are changing for something new in the future. And all that we have been given in our work from the masters and so forth, our higher selves, is basically that there is a new tomorrow that is coming, and it is bringing down a great advancement for humankind. And in essence, what that is leading to is bringing down heaven upon earth. And I used to wonder, what in the world are we talking about, heaven upon earth? Well, it's all of us can recognize that we are all part of the one. We are all part of, our souls are particles of all there is in the center of the cosmos. That's what our souls are made from. And we are all part of that one community, so to speak. And what is on the horizon is cleansing the earth from the dark that has been here for so long, and advancing humankind both internally and externally, leading to, and we do believe, a change in the DNA, replicating what was available to us in Atlantis and going beyond. So when you consider the goal, you can understand why there is so much turmoil right now. Richard, do you care to touch on a little bit of what Mother God said in that message that we sent out with the new moon, or the full moon, rather?
Yes. In essence, she was acknowledging the concern that she was aware of people beginning to express or have been expressing about how difficult life is in so many ways for so many people. And that indeed it is likely to get worse as a result of the kind of things that Carolyn has been speaking about. But her message was really one of hope and of support, because she was saying that the new tomorrow, if you will, is really very close, that we need to go through this period of chaos and difficulty in the world on pretty much every level until we reach that time when we will enter this new consciousness, if you will, this new phase of experience of what it means to be a human being. And so it was, in a sense, a message expressing great understanding and compassion, and really a message of great hope and encouragement. Beautiful message. If you haven't listened to it, go to our YouTube site and listen to it, which is under my name. I think it's just under Richard Presser. Just search it out and go listen to it. It's a beautiful, beautiful message brought forth by the wondrous Carolyn. She does those so well.
Thank you, Richard. So we just felt, I felt drawn to do this show today for many reasons. I know that there's a lot of people out there who are suffering, maybe have lost a home, had a car repossessed, lost a job. There's a lot of losses. Unemployment, we know we don't have the true figures from the government as to all the people who are unemployed, because once people are not receiving compensation, unemployment, they go off the list. And so this number is going up. And there's many, many people who are in that situation. Then there are so many people who just don't know what to do with their money, if they have any, if they're working and they have investments and so forth. And we're not really here to talk about what people might do with a portfolio, because we're not really about financial planning. And it's not something that we really choose to discuss on this show, because people's needs and backgrounds and what they have are also different from one another. What we're pointing out basically is this is truly a time, and this is how I see it, Richard, and I think you do too. This is truly a time when one must stop and think about where they are, how they're planning, and what they're going to do in the midst of these changes. And that's really what we're doing, is we're kind of like taking a break from our usual calls, and we're saying, let's stop for a moment and think about all of this and what we should be doing. You know, I find that individuals, and this isn't a criticism, it's just the way it is. We're so caught up in our everyday lives. If you have a job, you get up, you go to work, and you have all kinds of needs, things that you must take care of, that it's really hard to take those moments and sit down with yourself and, you know, maybe your spouse and make some decisions as to what's in the future and what are you going to do. So, and you might say this is kind of a reminder. So, Richard, something that I want you to cover now, because I'm going to take something else and cover. Talk a little bit about right brain magic. Now, you've spoken about this in the past, but I truly believe that this is the time when we should know how to do this, how we should be able to talk to our consciousness, other consciousness, besides ourselves, to, you might say, gather information and make decisions on what we are doing with our lives from the spiritual standpoint and from the temporal standpoint. So if you could just talk to people a little bit as to how that would be a tool.
Certainly, and I would just like to just reinforce what you're saying, because in a sense, part of the purpose of this period of chaos, this period of disruption, is to cause everybody to take stock, to consider not only their financial situation, but indeed what their lives are about. And one of the phrases that I've used a few times is that lots of people think they've figured out how they can get by to death. They've accumulated enough money to be able to survive until they die. And this lifetime's not about that. And so it really is going to take a few cricket bats around the ears, to use an expression coming from the British Commonwealth. maybe we should use a baseball bat in this country. No, that might be better. To have people begin to question and to look. And so I think it's important to recognize that that's part of what's happening here. And so what Carolyn is just raising is some of the ways that we can begin to do that. And one of the phrases, I guess, that Carolyn and I have picked up along the way is to follow what you feel and trust your intuition. Because all of us have this internal guidance system, you might say, that most of us have become very disconnected from. We've been living in this very left-brained world and been encouraged to believe that the left-brained way is really the only way to move forward. And it took me a long time to realize this, but in hindsight I realized that on some level I chose to spend perhaps a bit over a decade of my life where absolutely nothing that I tried to do from a left-brain perspective worked. It was pretty frustrating, I can tell you. And the only thing that would work for me was to trust my intuition. It was a tough learning time for someone that grew up, you know, with a PhD in engineering and running a successful IT business and so on, to find everything I tried to plan in the traditional way just kind of fell apart around my ears. It was not a lot of fun. But it taught me how to trust that intuitive guidance. And it really was that building that sense of trusting that inner guidance, those inner prompts, that has led me to be here with you today. I wouldn't be here without that. It's only by following the breadcrumbs, you might say, of intuition that have led me to here. And it is a skill, it is a guidance system that we all have. And so this, to me, is the fundamental aspect, really, of the right brain skills when it comes to the kind of things that we're speaking about here. Yes, it can be augmented by asking the perspective of, for example, our higher selves, because our higher selves have a perspective on our lives that we, in the middle of living it, if you like, this egoic self, if you wish, the self that you take yourself to be, doesn't have. And you might find it amazing that the consciousness of your physical body also has perspective on these things. You may not expect it, but the consciousness of the physical body has incredible wisdom about the living of life if we're but willing to ask it. And so we have these resources available to us that, you know, in the way that we've been brought up, in the way that we've lived life, we have lost our connection with, because these are resources that are available to us, available to everyone. We've just been encouraged to believe that they don't exist. Encouraged to believe that the only thing that we should rely on is this left brain logical planning process, when really that's not the case. And so there is a real place to awaken these skills and begin to use them to assist you in the living of your life, in moving forward in this, what is likely to be for many people a very challenging time. So it's a great facility. As I say, all of that, in a sense, feeds into, in various ways, into that intuitive guidance, that gut feel, which you can augment with connecting with your higher self and with your physical body, and indeed other beings that may be there to guide and assist you in the living of your life.
Well, I really do like the way you explain that, Richard. Thank you. You have a beautiful way of doing that. And for people who might wish to learn a little bit more about how you do it, why don't you tell them about the website, dear, in case they...
The website where we work with people on this is called rightbrainmagic.com. Just that, rightbrainmagic.com. So go and take a look and listen perhaps to some people's experiences of working with these kind of skills and abilities, because it really is an amazing ability. It's just fascinating to work with people and watch them wake up this ability. Truly, truly exciting work.
Well, it really is, and what this does is, so many of us look to others for answers, and here is this way of going within and finding your own answers. It's exceptionally important, and it also, we can't always rely upon what other people tell us to do. It doesn't fit our situation.
Indeed not.
Then the other thing that I want to, oh, by the way, let me just mention to people that feel free to call in with your interpretation of what's happening or questions that you have about some of the things that we're bringing up. We will be accepting phone calls within this discussion that Richard and I are having. So feel free to call in, because I'm sure a lot of you out there have your own perspective, and you know, you have your own problems that you're going through and your own experiences of how this chaos is affecting you. Now, something that I want to discuss is manifesting. And I do believe that in this point of chaos, that it's very important to start to rely upon manifesting in your own life what you need and want, and manifesting the guidance from your own soul and from Prime Creator. Again, I liked what you said, Richard, about how this is a time with everything that is going on for us to stop and start to review these things. So we're taking this as an opportunity. This is life, in a sense of, you might say, stopping the clock and saying, now is the time to start looking at answers that will come into your own personal lives. It's a time when you have questions. And so we're trying to focus on the positive aspect of that, how we can work with these challenges in a positive manner. And I think manifesting becomes exceptionally important. And before I get to some of the thoughts about manifesting that we've worked with. I want to talk about this right brain magic. There's a point here that I think we could cover and bring out is once you start intuitively knowing how to go within and work with consciousness, we are able to connect with our higher selves, which you might know is the gateway to our monad. But our higher selves, besides having the ability to help direct us, it has another ability. There's things about the soul that we don't stop and think about and maybe don't even understand. Is everything is so creative in this world. And it is because our creator, this is a big part of prime creator in the center of the cosmos, is bringing forth creation. And since our souls are made up of particles of that creator, it's not surprising then that our spiritual selves are very creative. And our souls are much larger than what we are working with here in this dimension. And so souls, which you might say the monad, beyond that door of the higher self, actually communicate with other souls, work with other souls to bring forth change, to bring forth things in our life that we are working towards, things that really are good for us, not negative things, because the soul is not going to work and bring forth negative results. But what we have taught people is once you start working with your higher self and you need something to come into your life, a person who has a particular skill, and I'm talking about people in this dimension, events, knowledge, that our higher selves working with our souls can bring this forth in our lives. It's not something that we talk about. And yes, this works with permission and authority from all there is, from God, if you will, in the center of the cosmos. But it is a skill, an ability. In other words, you know, God made all of this, and God didn't make it in such a way that it couldn't work through its own channels. And so this is a channel for individual souls working with their higher selves, working with their soul monad. And it's all this beautiful, it's all this beautiful operational form that works. And if we don't ever understand this and work with it, we're missing out on something that's huge. So I wanted to add that to what Richard was saying. And then, Richard, we've had calls in the past, and I guess the other thing that we're getting to here is bringing forth another call on manifesting. So with that intro, can you give us a little background of what we've done in the past with Lord Metatron and what we're planning on doing?
Yes, we in the past have run a series of calls on manifesting. And the way that series is set up is that the initial call in that series needs to be done live because there is some clearing work associated with it. And then the other three calls are recorded calls that you can simply listen to. And for various reasons, it's been a while since we've done any of those. And so in the current circumstances, given what we've been talking about here, we both felt that the activity of manifesting is really an important thing to be focusing on in these times, rather than perhaps some of the traditional ways we might go about addressing some of these issues in our lives, but really focus on these higher level approaches, if you will, to bringing forth what you want to see in your life. And so what we plan to do, I will, in the next while, put out an email to everyone that's on our list about setting up, running another of these free manifesting calls. And so if you're not on our mailing list, I encourage you to go to our 2012countdown.com website and register there, enter your name and email address, and click on the opt-in link when it comes to you so that you're on our mailing list. And so if you want to participate in one of those manifesting calls, I'm not sure how we'll run, how many we'll run, I'm not sure how much interest there is, but we'll certainly be running at least one of those, maybe more, so that you can take advantage of that opportunity to participate in those calls. They're free. It's something we're just providing to people. So make sure you're on that list and you can join in and utilize those skills and abilities which Lord Metatron has shared with us.
Well, I do want to mention, Richard, and thank you for bringing that up, the fact that we've done this without cost in the past. Richard and I really do give a lot of our time to free services. We've run courses on manifesting, on sacred geometry with Lord Metatron. And, of course, you know, you do have to put price tag on some things to pay the bills, but we really do a lot of work free of charge, and we're really happy to bring this forth. We'll touch back on this again. Right now, Richard, we have Monica from California is on line one. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
We're wonderful, Monica. What can we do for you?
I would like a reading, if I may. You guys are doing readings, correct?
No, we're really not doing readings today because it's a different topic. And I understand where you're coming from, because we do have a lot of situations where we do readings on our call. We'd like to keep this more, if you have a question related to what we've been talking about, I'd appreciate it if you would stay with that for now. It kind of changes people's thinking. And I didn't want to pull people's thinking away from what we're doing, because we really do think it's exceptionally important right now. So, Monica, considering, you know, manifesting, connecting with your higher self, or the problems in the economy with, you know, housing and job losses and so forth, was there something that you wanted to talk about with in some of those areas? So it sounds like nothing comes to mind.
I think she may have left us.
Oh, she might have. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
Chase her away.
Hey, Monica.
You shouldn't be so brutal. I mean, really.
Oh, brutal.
No, I thought you were being very gentle.
Well, we have had so many calls on this show where, you know, we talk about people's past lives and, you know, they have questions about family members and so forth. And we do a lot of readings along those lines. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring in a little sidebar to that. And that is how that's done, how reading the records and reading other people's situations is, as startling as it might sound, is raising Kundalini to be able to do that. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about with that, Richard?
Well, I think there's a lot that's not understood or misunderstood about the notion of raising that kundalini energy. There's a lot of talk about, the kundalini awakening, and certainly for some people it can be a pretty powerful initial experience, and a lot of people need to go through a kind of conditioning process to be able to raise those energies in the body. And so a lot of the conversation around the kundalini tends to be a bit focused on all of that rather than the kind of things it can be used for. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know quite why it is exactly, but it's something that Carolyn and I kind of just do easily and readily in all the work, a lot of the work that we do. I anticipate that we both are in that place right now. And so the thing about this energy is that it enables you, in a sense, to travel the cosmos, to be able to connect with other beings in a much more powerful way, and to be able to, in a sense, take yourself to other experiences using that energy. So it's a very kind of powerful tool that augments so many things that we do in the spiritual world. It can also play a very powerful role in healing. By that I mean when you're working as a healer, healing others. And, you know, over in the past, the great healers would all have had their kundalini raised when they were working as healers. And I suspect there are probably quite a few that do it today that don't realize they're actually doing it. So it's in fact a very powerful tool, a powerful aspect of being a human being, in a sense, to awaken that energy which flows up the spine, up those channels along the spine, like that twisting serpent energy, and flows out of the crown chakra and in a way activates so much within the physical body and beyond.
Richard, I just love the way you explain things. You do such a great job with it, and thank you. And while you were talking about it, I couldn't help think about the similarity between raising kundalini, well, in one sense, the similarity between raising kundalini and working with what we call the right brain magic, because each one of these things, we are using our consciousness.
Indeed.
Didn't you think that's interesting?
Yeah, I do.
And the reason for raising this point is, I'm not sure that people really believe or understand or even have thought about how our consciousness is able to move out into the cosmos and get answers. I'd like to talk about something along those lines, Richard, that we've talked about. And I know people really understand this. You have a problem and you can't think of the answer right away. And you say, I want to sleep on it. And this is so much in history where people have come up with ideas after they have the idea, they kind of forget about the answer, and then they wait a while and the answer comes forth. And what I believe when we do that is there is a part of our consciousness that actually moves, that actually leaves us going out to find the answer. In other words, we've asked ourselves the question. The answer is not there, but it comes to us later. And I think it's a good idea to recognize this because we need to understand the power that our bodies have and the power that our souls have and our power of intention. And so we see so many examples of that. We use it, but we don't think about it enough to use it consciously. So we use it unconsciously. You know, we'll say, oh, I'm just going to sleep on that. We don't stop for a moment to think that while you're sleeping, there's a part of your consciousness that's actually going out and getting the answer for you.
It is very interesting. I remember I came to understand this, you know, on one level at least, when I was very much in my left brain world. I recognized this actually when I was doing my PhD, because, you know, we kind of hear about this scientific process as being this logical, analytical, left brain, step-by-step process. And yet, if you think about the nature of a scientific theory, the whole nature of a theory is that it's some kind of leap into the unknown. It's intuitive in nature, by definition. And then when you have come up with this new theory, you then use the step-by-step process to actually prove it or disprove it. And so, you know, despite all the great denials that you might hear from science today, which I have to say is an incredible denial of the great spiritual beings that have been, you know, great scientists of the past, such as Erwin Schrödinger and Einstein and so many others, Planck and so on, Kepler, the list goes on. But, you know, I kind of realized it then. And the other thing from a business perspective was I used to build some pretty complex spreadsheets when I was running the business to analyze various things. And, you know, I'd be working away on these things and, you know, just couldn't figure it out. And so I'd just leave it alone and drive home. And so often the answer would pop into my head as I was just about to get home or, you know, when I'd get up in the morning, the answer would be there. And so these days I use that process actively. If I'm, you know, wanting to put together a new approach to something, whether it be, you know, how to put together a new product, or, you know, how to put all the pieces together to kind of put something out in the market, or whatever it is. It could be a whole bunch of different things. I just kind of let the problem sit in my mind, and I know that as I go about doing other things, these thoughts pop into my head, these ideas, these possibilities just arise within me, and I just allow that to kind of, that ferment to go on until, you know, I'm satisfied that the solution has been, it's all been resolved, and then I just implement it.
And that's beautiful, Richard, because you have learned that through your intuition. But I'd like to suggest that there's a lot of people who are not aware of this process. So something, I'd like to bring that process down to our everyday lives, whether it's with our children, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with a work situation. So many times something comes up, doesn't matter what it is. Maybe the kid's not doing his homework, or maybe the spouse just isn't reacting to you the way you want. I mean, we could go on and on, these everyday problems that when they're not resolved, they just compound and get to be so big. And many times what we do is we react to the situation either in anger or impatience. And what happens when you do that is you really cut off the answer to come forth. You know what I'm saying, Richard?
I certainly do. I certainly don't claim to be free of the response of anger in any and every given situation. And, you know, I recognize that it shuts down these processes. It's very clear. I mean, it's one of the things that I talk to people about in the Right Brain Magic sessions. When the emotions get high, whatever the source of those emotions, whether it be anger or upset, you know, sadness, just emotional pain, when these things get high, or if you have a high emotional attachment to the answer that comes forth, you're never going to hear it. And so these things work very powerfully on so many levels. And when you're dealing with these kinds of issues, we need to be able to set aside those emotions. And if it means you have to give it a few minutes, then do that. But if you're going to do this kind of work, you have to put those aside. Because if you don't, you're not going to go anywhere.
Well, that's true. So what I'm really saying here, and you're kind of agreeing with me, is that when we have a challenge come up in life, no matter what it is, instead of reacting to our emotions, it's much better to calmly move on and allow this right side of your brain, so to speak, to bring forth the answer. And usually what comes forth when you're patient with it, and, you know, we're really talking over here about loving, being compassionate, being open to find an answer from a spiritual perspective. Something that I believe is, if you want a different answer about something and you do the same things that you've done in the past, it's not going to work. You're not going to come up with a new answer. So you have to start thinking outside of the box. And we do this so often. We put ourselves in a box, or we put our friends, our neighbors in a box. And when something comes up that's challenging, we think, oh, it's going to happen this way. It's always done this in the past. It's going to happen. Instead of being calm about it, opening up and know that there are new answers, new ways. So I don't know if you had anything to comment on that, Richard.
No, I think you've covered it pretty well.
And these tools, we're really talking about tools now. And these are tools that we believe, and I really do believe in, we need to start looking at these to start resolving the kinds of problems that we are going to face in this period of chaos. And I think anybody who sits back and looks at it from a quiet perspective is going to recognize chaos, according to my description of it. Particles, you might say, deconstructing in a certain sense, and reconstructing, bringing in a new reality in our lives. And basically, that's what it is. We are on the threshold of a new reality in the world and in our own personal lives, our own personal perspective. And these changes are not going to be solved by using the tools that we've used in the past.
Exactly.
You might say this is a spiritual revolution. And that is how I look at it. And if it is a spiritual revolution, we are going to have to use spiritual tools. We're going to have to use our love, our compassion, our tolerance, our understanding, and we're going to have to use this very powerful aspect that we have that we call the soul. And the soul has abilities that we are not recognizing. And I hope with doing this show tonight that it gives people cause to think about where they are, where they are going, and how they are going to come up with new answers. Anything you want to add to that, Richard?
No, I think what you're saying is absolutely spot on. I think this is a big part of what this time is about, because those that have relied on if you will, the historical, to use that term, left-brain approaches are not going to solve these problems. If they're going to try and solve it in the way that they've solved issues in their lives before, it ain't going to work. Because part of what we've been given to understand in all of this is that, in a sense, there will be two paths opening up as all of this begins to unfold. Those that are walking the path to ascension, as they truly get on that path, will find life opening up in front of them in this beautiful way. Yeshua's used the term like riding a magic carpet. And, you know, that's going to be very exciting. And implicit in all of that is using these right brain skills, trusting your intuition, using these kind of approaches to get your, to work your way forward in your life, to figure out how to move forward. And if you don't have an answer, do nothing. You know, wait until the resolution is there and clear for you in terms of how to move forward. And it's just so important. Excuse me. It's just so important to begin to use these kind of tools and approaches to be able to move ourselves forward in life.
And what I would add to that, as you so beautifully put it, is our intent is so important. I don't think most of us understand just how important intent is in this dimension. Richard, we have 3 minutes, which doesn't give us very much time. The show is over. Can you just maybe spend those 3 minutes to encourage people to sign up for our mailing list, and also what is new on the table that we might be working on right now?
Okay, I can do that. Well, I think we've talked about a number of reasons why people want to be on our mailing list. Firstly, to participate in those manifesting calls, and frankly, you know, if you do want to look at how someone is being creative within the current systems to take care of things financially, there will be a link to this Michael Lombardi video. It's quite extraordinary stuff. And as I said, I'll put a link on the email which goes out to that. So there are a couple of things that come through. Carolyn asked me to talk about something that we are working on. And it won't be very long before we'll be launching a new ebook called The Truth About 2012, which started to emerge in some ways well over a year ago. And the essence of it was, you know, we kind of have been seeing all these things being said about what's going on in at the end of 2012 and so on and so forth. And, you know, we've all seen the, well, we've necessarily seen the movie, but certainly been aware of the 2012 movie, which was about fear and disaster and the end of the world and all that kind of stuff. And it's so inconsistent with what we've come to understand. And whilst, as we've been talking about here, there'll be challenges ahead of us, there's really no reason to get stuck in fear, because what awaits us is quite an extraordinary shift. And so Carolyn, a higher aspect of Carolyn, Carolyn connected with and began to bring this material forth. And as she was doing this, all there is, stuck his bib in a few times to provide his perspective on what's unfolding. And so it's a very interesting ebook, I think, which talks about, as I said, what's unfolding and what it means in a way that we haven't brought forth before, and indeed we certainly haven't seen from anywhere else. So that'll be kicking off fairly soon, I expect, when I figure out how to package it all up and get it out to people.
Well, my dear, we have 1 minute, and does anything come to mind? No, we don't. It's time to go, actually.
Well, that's so good.
So I would like to thank all of you for being out there listening, and I'd like to thank you, Richard, in a special way for the wisdom that you bring to the show. We just love it,
and we
appreciate you. As I know our listeners do also. And so for tonight, I say goodbye to all of you until next week, when I look forward again to being with you.
Indeed. Goodbye, everyone.